Today on Real Radio.
While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" Church, get this. This is written down 2,000 years ago. Jesus turns to the Pharisees because they did not believe that God would have a son. I don't know where they got that from, but that's what they believed. Jesus says, concerning the Messiah, concerning the Christ, whose son is he? That is clear throughout Scripture that God would send his son.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at a section in chapter 9, which includes what is arguably the most important question of life. In the words of the Messiah, "Who do you say that I am?" Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called, "What Do You Think About Jesus?"
And it is that tremendous moment when Jesus was there, and you know from last time in part one of our study that Jesus took the disciples there to Caesarea Philippi, and he begins to show them that very pagan, terrible spot as those people had gathered from various parts of the nation and of the region to shout the various names of the gods that they worshiped. And we looked at that. We saw that they would shout the names, for example, of Diana or Zeus or Titan or some other Greek or Babylonian god. And they would go through that bizarre and often sensual worship practice of those various gods there at Caesarea Philippi. And as Jesus takes his disciples there, and as those people would shout the names of those gods out loud, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they began to respond. And we know from the Greek construction that they responded to Jesus in a hesitating way. They waited. There was an uncomfortable pause. And then somebody said, "Well, some say that you're a prophet come back from the dead. Or some say you're Elijah. Or some say you're Jeremiah. Or some say this. Or some say that." People had their opinion. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And in that moment of amazing revelation from the Father above, Peter speaks, and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," as Matthew records it. Here in Luke's gospel, Peter acknowledges and states that you are the Christ, God's Son. You're the Savior of the world, is what that declaration means. And it's a very exclusive statement. Friends, listen carefully. It's all important to our message. What Peter announced was given to him by the Father. Who says? Jesus said. Jesus said, "Peter, you didn't think that up on your own. My Father gave that to you." He makes that very clear in Matthew chapter 16. My Father told you that. So here we have Jesus Christ saying that the Father revealed a certain word to Peter. What was that word? That word was Jesus Christ alone is Savior, the Christ, the Messiah of the world. That excludes all others. And so the question is put before us, what do you think about Jesus Christ? So let's pick it up in our study. We'll read it again. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 begins, "And it happened that as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him. And he asked them, saying, 'Who do the crowd say that I am?' And so they answered and said, 'John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others say one of the old prophets have risen again.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered and said, 'The Christ of God.' And he strictly warned them and commanded them that they tell no one, saying," verse 22, "'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day.' Then he said to them all," that is all the people, everybody, "'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And for what profit is it to a man if he should gain the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and that of his fathers and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come. Last time in our message, and we're going to run through these quickly, so be ready. Last time we looked at verse 20 when Jesus said to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, in his great announcement, says, "You are the Christ." That is the statement. Listen, church, that is the statement that God is waiting to hear from every mouth, that you are the Christ. Not everybody wants to go to heaven. Have you talked to people who just, they don't want anything to do with God? Have you ever talked to them? They don't want anything to do with them. They don't want anything to do with his Bible. They've got all kinds of criticisms about it, but they can't prove one thing regarding it. They'll attack the name of Jesus. They'll put down the name of Jesus. They'll even use Jesus' name as a curse word. They've got all of their opinions about Jesus. And God can handle that. God can take that. But my friend, the ultimate thing is to come to the end of your life and to die in that position. To say, "I don't need Christ. I don't want God in my life. I don't care about his letter to me, the Bible. I don't want God." Isn't it a bizarre thing to think that God answers at least one prayer of every person throughout all of time? When somebody says, "I don't want you, God," God says, "I'm sorry about that." A lot of people criticize Christians because we are forcing salvation on them by saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." And then somebody will listen and they'll begin to reason and they'll begin to figure out, wait a minute, he's offering me eternal life, but if I don't want eternal life, does that mean I perish? The answer is yes, you do. God doesn't want you to, though. It's as though the whole nation or the whole world needs to get on a train that leads to salvation. And Jesus bought the ticket. And there's people handing out the tickets. But there's somebody standing there on the track, or not the track, what's the thing called? Don't stand on the track. Platform. And you would say, "You know what? I don't want the ticket." "Yeah, but it's paid for. I don't want the ticket. Take the ticket. Please take the ticket. I've been praying that you would take the ticket. I don't want the ticket." That person doesn't have to have the ticket. It's their choice. When Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus is extracting, drawing out of them that declaration of faith. This is what we saw last time. Verses 18 to 19 was our first point. And the question is, what do you think about Jesus Christ? And here it is. When it comes to who he is, it's all important. Because we read here a moment ago that some people will say anything about Jesus. That's true today. They'll say anything about him. I mentioned it to you before, I'll say it again. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ, his name and title, Jesus is his name, Christ is his mission, is the most worshipped, adored name on the planet, and it is the most cursed name. Think of that for a moment. If someone's going to cuss, they're going to invoke the name of Jesus Christ, aren't they? Don't you think that's kind of weird? But if they're going to worship God, we proclaim the name of Jesus. Most blessed name, most cursed name. People will say anything about him. They'll say things like, "He's someone else," or "He's this," or "He's that." He's really great, but that's not enough. We learned also that some people will say that he's one of the ways to God. We hear that a lot today. There are more cults on this planet than at any other time in history. And that's exactly what Jesus would say would happen. And what do we hear? "Oh, Jesus is this, and Jesus is that, and he's one of the many ways to heaven." That's not true either, says the Bible. And then we also learn that some people will say that he's a great prophet. There are many religions that say he's a great prophet. But when you get into the study, you find out that Jesus cannot be a great prophet. He's either the great Lord that he says that he is and the Bible announces that he is, or he's a lunatic liar, that he's crazy. But he's not a great prophet. You can't be a great prophet and have verses like this written about you. Mark it down if you would. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys to hell and death." No prophet could say that. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And Jesus said to the angel of the church at Smyrna, "Write these things, says the first and the last who was dead and who came to life." This is no ministry of a prophet. This is no ministry of one who's leads us along a path to heaven like many others. No way. And it does matter what you think about him. And then we saw last time also about what we might think about Jesus Christ is this, verses 20 to 22, that your answer is all important. What's your answer? When Jesus turned, he asked. Now, this might be quite terrifying, and I mean this. I'm not joking. When I think about this in my own life, it's terrifying. It is sobering. When I think about what I'm thinking of, and I'll tell you about it in a second, I always have this picture in my mind that was, in my mind, in my heart, very blasphemous. When Jesus turns and says, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter announced, "You are the Christ." You don't get any more elevated than that, because the Bible makes it clear that it is God who saves us. That I remember Tommy Lasorda out there in the field of Dodger Stadium saying, "I think we're going to win today because the big Dodger upstairs is with us." The big Dodger upstairs. Number one, God is not upstairs, and God is certainly not a Dodger fan. We would all know that. We would understand that. But people approach him in such a casual way. "Oh, the big man upstairs. You know, the big guy and the big kahuna," whatever that means. This is God we're talking about. He's eternal. He is it. Listen, before there ever was, he was there. And before there's, or after there's anything, nothing's, eternity begins and all that is material is over. He's there. He's God. He's eternal. What's your answer is all important. And we ask these things. Who is the biblical Jesus in your life? We have to answer that question. We also looked at, is the biblical Jesus your personal salvation? Do you believe this morning that Jesus Christ and that glorious, wonderful name that the Bible says that there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved? You see, Jack, that is so narrow. Yes, that's exactly correct. It's horrifically narrow. And it's joyously narrow. When you begin to look at the sacrifice that God made for you and I through his son Christ, it had to be narrow. And so the Bible tells us that he's our personal salvation. And then finally, we looked at this last time. Is the biblical Jesus the Jesus you need? And I think you know the answer to that, don't you? He's the only Jesus. He's the only one. The Jesus of the Bible. Fact is, Jesus Christ himself asked the Pharisees a very important question. Listen to this. In Matthew 22, verse 41, the scripture says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" Church, get this. This is written down 2,000 years ago. Jesus turns to the Pharisees because they did not believe that God would have a son. I don't know where they got that from, but that's what they believed. Jesus says, concerning the Messiah, concerning the Christ, whose son is he? That is clear throughout Scripture that God would send his son. The book of Psalms, chapter 2, for one thing. Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 4, for one thing. Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. God said that he would send his son into the world. And that's exactly what God did. What do you think about Jesus Christ this morning, my friend listening in? It means all the matter. It means all of the seriousness that you can muster to think about that. And this is not a lightweight topic because this truth is under attack today. What you think about Jesus Christ and what you say about him determines who and what your life is in eternity. I want to point something out to you guys. Some of you who have been there with us, you already know this. Has anyone not seen this anywhere in any news? This is the Dome of the Rock Mosque. Now, I got to tell you before we go to the next slide, you see this, and you can study this in antiquity. This is no secret. But before Islam came to Jerusalem, this was a Byzantine church. You used to have a cross right here. Next slide. You see this writing in Arabic around the building here? It's kind of hard to make out for us who don't know Arabic. I think we have a closer photo, number 3. There you go. See this? Around the building, up here, and down here. Next and final slide. Right here. And, of course, at the base of the dome. Did not Jesus ask the Pharisees, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is? Who do you say that the Son of God is?" Scriptures announce Proverbs 30, verse 4, Psalm chapter 2, as I mentioned earlier, Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. Listen, the Bible declares that God has a son. What do you think about that? What do you say about that? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 23, it says, that's 1 John 2:23, "Whoever denies the Son, the same does not have the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. 1 John 2:22. Are you guys awake? Are you okay? Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the spirit of Antichrist. He that denies the Father has denied the Son. Why is that important? Why did I point out those slides? Because in Arabic, written around the Dome of the Rock Mosque, it says, God is not begotten, neither does God have a son. Someone's wrong. Someone's right. People knocking on your doors today decry the fact that Jesus is God come to earth in human flesh, the Son of God, Savior of the world. Who do you say that Jesus is? You see, Jack, we already know that. We come to church here. Well, I'm giving you this to maybe take it to somebody else. And I got to tell you, any time that you and I have the opportunity to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Savior of the world, I want to take it. Because there's a lot of false words out there. Okay, church, get ready. Here we go. I'm going to give you a lot of data this morning. False prophets and satanic evangelists seek to bring about a replacement theology, replacing holy places, replacing the name of God, replacing the scriptures, replacing the definition about Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Verse 2, Hereby we know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And the word comes in the flesh implies comes from heaven and arrives in the flesh, as we know Jesus did. And then 1 John 4:3, And every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come and has now already come into the world. This is very serious. What do you say about Jesus? Whose son is he? Your answer determines everything about your life, both now and for eternity. Revelation 14:11. Revelation 14:11 says, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee should bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. Interesting. Confess what? Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You want to give glory to the Father? You say you believe in God? Then what we must do is announce the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that brings glory to God the Father. Can you and I do that? You say, well, I can't, or I'm thinking about it. Listen, here's the amazing thing. He's your personal Savior and mine. My opinion of Jesus does not affect you. My opinion of Jesus has no bearing on your eternity. This is not a Costco group membership salvation. Everybody can have their opinion. Just know this. The Bible makes it very clear, and you already know this, that whatever our opinion, whatever your opinion, my opinion is, we're responsible for that opinion. So if you say this morning, Jesus Christ is my Lord, then you're giving glory and honor to the Father. If you say, He's not, and God cannot have a son, then you are dishonoring the Father. And that's a very serious thing, and you don't want to do that. All right, point number three in our study. It's 4 points. We did 1, 2 last week. Point number three right now. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ worthy of your faith? In verses 23 to 25, that is so very, very all important. Look what it says there. Then Jesus said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. We will pause right here for a moment. Is Jesus Christ worthy of your faith? And I'm going to argue with you that he is. In verse 23, we realize this. Is your faith in someone greater than you? Is your faith and my faith, is it in someone greater than who we are? This is what Jesus is drawing out of them. In verse 23, when he says, Jesus said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's a radical statement. And I hope we see this in a moment. When he uses the word, let him deny, the word deny here in the Greek means to disown, to surrender, to turn yourself in. So Jesus is saying, in light of the declaration, church, you got to kind of watch this in your mind's eye. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ of God. Jesus now turns and says, all right, that being the case, and it is true, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him disown himself. Now, it doesn't mean that we are to save ourselves. Denying ourselves doesn't save ourselves. Oh, look, I've denied myself God so much. I didn't have cupcakes today. I didn't have Twinkies today. I didn't have hot dogs today. Look, I've denied myself. That's not what he's talking about. The word deny here, to deny yourself, to disavow or to disown yourself, is to say, I am no longer the driver's seat. I do not want, I refuse, Lord, my human right to drive my own ship here, to steer my own boat. I don't want anything to do with it. I want you, God, to be the lead. I want you, God, to take control. That's what he is saying. To disown, to surrender. It's the opposite of what you and I hear in this world today. To deny yourself is to come to the place of what the word means, to no longer choose to know yourself. You and I live in a culture that says, know yourself, find out more about you, get to know you. I got news for you. Oh, please. For those of you who have not pursued knowing yourself, wait. Those of you who have, you're going to agree with me in a moment. When you try to know yourself, first of all, did you ever get an answer? If you do get an answer, you're not happy with the answer. Because you find, have you ever seen that sticker? It says, to know me is to love me. Who thought of that? The more I get to know me, the more I don't want to know me. The more selfish I am. The more self-centered I am. The more I get to know me, the more I find out that I'm the problem with me. But see, if I'm not realizing that, and don't run out of the church right now with your hair on fire, there's a good answer to this, and you'll be happy in a moment. The more I focus on me, then I begin to turn the world for me. It's all about me. It's the whole world was created. It's everything's for me. You become to get very self-centered, and when that happens, your feelings are hurt. You are very, very upset about this, that, or the other thing. It's all about you. It's about how you feel. It's about this and that, about my life. And Jesus says, listen, in this world that's all messed up, you don't want to live like that because you'll just be derailed. And not only that, it is an attempt to put yourself on the throne of life, and that's where I belong, says the Lord. But believe me, you do not want to live your life with you on the throne.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a mini-series called What Do You Think About Jesus? It's a look at Luke chapter 9 and verses 18 through 27. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because this is quite possibly life's most important question, we've made it a mini-series, and in fact, we're making it available on DVD, and it's called Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. It's a valuable tool for evangelism as well as for your own personal review. Our offer is this. We'll send it to you for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Just ask for it by title, Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word, and it's on DVD. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your tax-deductible contribution, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine a amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.